All right, Jabosa, good morning. Let's begin. All right, Jabosa, so today's daf is daf above. We're actually going to begin on the bottom of Hey Amud Beis. So the Gemara says the following: Well, the man do amar Aaron, it's three lines up from the bottom. Actually, we'll go two lines up from the bottom. The man do amar, two lines up. Well, the man do amar Aaron ubanav bebasach. So also, if you remember, we ended off yesterday with a fundamental machlokes about the order of the dressing by the miluim. By the miluim, was it done Aaron and his sons at one time, or was first Aaron dressed and then afterwards his sons dressed? So the Gemara says, "Leman do amar Aaron ubanav bebasachos," and according to the opinion, it says that Aaron and his sons were both dressed at once, meaning they were dressed up in the Bidei Kuhuna at once. Haksev ay, it says vayach gor oso ba'avne. First, it says that what? That Aaron was literally yachgor, he was girded with his belt. And afterwards it says vayachgor osam avnet. And afterwards it says they were girded with their belts. So we'll say again over here. It sounds like lemaisa. First it was Aaron, and then afterwards it was the children. So the Gemara says tap above. Amar lecha hahu avneto shel kohen gadol lo zehu avneto shel kohen hedjot. So we'll say the Gemara answers that according to that man d'amar, the Torah is not coming along to teach you sequence. Rather, what is the Torah coming to teach you? The Torah is coming to teach you the fact that the avnet, the belt of the Kohen Gadol, was different than the belt of the regular Kohanim. How so? Well, let's take a look at Rashi. Amar lechu hahu avneto shel Kohen Gadol, lo zehu avneto, kilomar, the olam kra ditzava'a dafka bevas achos. So it could be that in reality, Aaron and his sons were both dressed at the same time. However, and really what the Torah is doing by splitting up the two is telling us that the belts were not equivalent. It's very interesting. So remember, just to follow our train of thought, we're just trying to fit. Here's what we know we have. We have two different psukim, and one pasuk seems to indicate that Aaron was dressed first, and the other pasuk seems to say that they were dressed at the same time. So the Gemara is just suggesting over here that perhaps that's not what it means. Perhaps what the Torah is actually coming to tell us is that the belt of the Kohen, the reason why it splits it up, it doesn't just say they were all dressed at the same time, is to teach us that the belt of the Kohen Gadol was different than the belt of the regular Kohanim. How so? That the belt of the Kohen Gadol was made of shatnez. It's made of shatnez. Rashi points out over here that the belt was made of tcheles va'argaman. So the Gemara says, excuse me, sheish and treles. Sheish is kisna, which is linen, and treles is amro, which is wool. Wool and linen, of course, is shatnez. The avnet habanim lo pirish hakosav mimahayu. The ashmo inar hachad the avneto shal kohen gadol lo zeu avneto shal kohen hedjot. Shezesh shal kilayim v'zesh shal butz. So the Gemara says, you're right. So why is the Torah splitting up the two psukim to teach us that the belts are not the same? That the belt ultimately of the kohen gadol was made of shatnez, whereas the belt of the regular Kohanim was not. So the Gemara goes right through. Ulamando amar Aaron va'achar, top of above, three lines down. Ulamando amar Aaron va'achar kach banav. And the opinion who says that first Aaron we'll use the verb we coined yesterday, was belted. And then afterwards his sons. Ay v'hok siv, but the Pasuk says, V'chagarta osam avnet. But the pasuk says that it says that they were belted together. That really doesn't sound right. Right, meaning that they were all dressed at the same time. So the Gemara says, Amar lechu, hahu kamashon. What does that teach us? Avnetel shel kohen gadol, zehu avnetel shel kohen hedyot. So we'll say, interesting enough, according to this man, the Amar, the fact that the Torah mentions them together is not to teach you about sequence, but rather what? To teach you about the nature of the begadim. And dafka to teach you that the belt of the Kohen Gadol was in fact like the belt of the Kohen Hedyot. So also what's interesting is, according to this last approach in the Gemara, what's unfolding over here is the following, that both man the Amrim could understand that the Pasuk is not coming to talk to you about sequence, but rather it's coming to talk to you about the nature and quality of the big day kahuna. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Vayach gar oso avnet, vayach gar osam lamali. So I will say again, if the Torah already says, vayach gar oso, that literally Moshe Rabbeinu put the belt around Aaron, and the Torah also says that Moshe Rabbeinu put the belt around them, lamali, what does this come to teach us? To which the Gemara says, Shmamino, Aaron va'achar kach banav. What does the Torah come to teach us? The Torah is coming to teach us that first Aaron had his belt put on, and then afterwards the sons. So the Gemara says, but let me ask you. So now the Gemara goes back. So we'll say this remains as a fundamental machlokes as to how the process of the miluim was conducted. Was Aaron had his belt put on first, or did everybody have the belt put on together? So the Gemara says over here, even if you want to say they were all put on together, what does that mean? Meaning, you know, the idea of bas achas means simultaneous. How is it possible? Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one addressing everyone. There's no one else that's helping out with this. So that's for the miluim. It's for the miluim. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was doing it. So how can you have a bas achas? Meaning, according to that mandam, everything's done at once. How can you even possibly have that? To which the Gemara says, no. Understand, lo tzricha da'akdim. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Ube bas achas mi mishkachas lo, shiyehe Moshe levado choger, chamisha b'nei adam ka'achas. How can you even entertain the possibility of simultaneity? How could Moshe Rabbeinu be girding or be dressing five people, meaning Aaron and his four sons at once? To which the Gemara says, no, we're using the word bas achas in a little bit of a different way. Lo tzricha, it's not necessarily da'aktim. Aktim means precedence. What does that mean? Lo zeh, look at Rashi. Lo bebas achas mamish ka'amar. It doesn't literally mean he dressed them all at the same time for obvious reasons, because that's impossible. Elo zeh achar zeh. Rather, what it means is he dressed them one after the other. Aye, so what does it mean bebas achas? Elo bezeh achar zeh. Aval beseder echad hoyu. But there was a seder. What does that mean? Velo hivsik beged achar bentayim. And he did not go ahead and disrupt the order with another beged. What does that mean? Hilbish la'arim kol begadav. Velo chagar osa avnei. So bebas achas we mean the following. Moshe Rabbeinu first dressed Aaron in all of his Kohanic vestments, but did not put on the belt. Did not put on the avnate. The achar kach hilbish es bonav. Nichnasayim kisones umitznefes. So what does it mean, bevas achas? Bevas achas means the same order is used. So first he dresses Aaron in all of his clothing, but not the avne, not the belt. Then he goes son by son and dresses each of them in all of their clothing, but no belt. The achar kach notel es ha'evnetim. And then now, after everybody's dressed, then what does he do? He takes the belts, and what does he do? V'chagar es Aaron. Then he girds Aaron. V'achar kach banov. And then he puts on the belts by the sons. So we'll say that's what basachas means. Basachas means that everything was done in a uniform procedure. First, everybody is dressed in the garments, and then afterwards, everybody is belted. V'achar kach, excuse me, uleman dama ar v'achar kach banov. But according to the opinion, it says that first Aaron was fully dressed, and then his sons. Kich savo ha'amor ba'asiya. So Rabbi said that would follow pretty much the text as it is written in Parshas Tzav. Vayitein alav es akisones, vayachkor oso ba'avnet, vayabish oso es hamigil, va'achar kach vayakrev es b'nei Aaron, vayabikor es b'nei Aaron, vayabishim kisones v'yach. So Rabbi said again, according to this approach, according to the approach that says Aaron was first, it literally means Aaron was fully dressed, including Avnet, and then only afterwards did Moshe Rabbeinu go back and to dress the sons. Rashi ends up with Divrei Hakol LaAaron Tchila Kodem Shischil Banav. I'll say one thing is clear that everybody agrees with, which is what? Aaron was fully dressed before his sons. That's for sure, because that's the covenant of the Kohen Gadol. The Shaila just is, was he fully dressed, meaning before they even began to dress the sons, or ultimately was, again, like the first opinion in Rashi, everybody had their basic Kohanic vestments on, and then afterwards, Aaron was the first to have his belt applied, and then everybody else afterwards. So that's the fundamental machlokes that means. I'm both like, just you should know, why doesn't the Gemara say, my dahavahava, right? What was, who cares? So remember, like the Gemara said before, because remember, again, we have to understand the psukim. The issue over here is we have psukim that seems, so when, again, my dahavahava is a fine answer, when there's not a textual ramification, but if there's a textual ramification of reconciling psukim, Torahi velilmod anutzrichim. We have to know how to understand psukim in Torah. So that's again. So the Gemara ultimately ends off with a machlokes. So the Gemara goes back to mafrish kohen gadol. So we'll say now we go back to the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say? We 7 days before Yom Kippur, we're mafrish. We separate out the kohen gadol mi beiso. And I will say, remember, mi beiso will define what that means. Right now, we'll say it means his home. And we go ahead and we put him in the Lishkas Parhedra. We put him in a special chamber in the Beis HaMikdash Kampa, the Harabayis Kampa. So the Gemara says, Lama Mafrishin, why do we separate out the Kohen Gadol? Why do we sequester? So the Gemara says, Lama Mafrishin, Kida Aminon. What do you mean, why do we separate him? We already spoke about this. Either Rabbi Yochanan Kidislei, V'Reish Lagish Kidislei. We already spoke about this. There are different opinions as to why we go ahead and separate out the Kohen Gadol. Look at Rashi. Either Rabbi Yochanan ki de'islei de'yalef mimiluin, either Rabbi Shimon Lakish ki de'islei de'yalef misinai. So also we just spent two blood on this. Right? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason we sequester the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur is why? Because we're not Yom Kippur from miluin. La'asos l'chaper. We're not from miluin. Just like by miluin, there was 7 days of sequestration preparation. So too, before Yom Kippur. And according to Rish Lakish, she doesn't learn that from Yibum. Where does he learn that from? This was yesterday's daf. Where does he learn that from? From Har Sinai. From Har Sinai. So what are you asking me? Why? We already did this. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi ka'amar mi beso lamadish. But the Gemara is asking is, why do you separate it from his home? Now, both sides, home, the Gemara understands to mean his wife. Why do you have to separate him from his wife for 7 days? I understand you want to take him to the Beis HaMikdash because sequestration, preparation, you want to prepare him for the Avodah, but why can't his wife come along with him? Look at Rashi also. This is actually quite interesting. The Gemara says, Mi beiso lama pirish, me ishto lama pirish, tavo ishto imo, shahari al karachach lishas parhejan lo haisa kidosha. His wife should be able to come with him. Why? Because it was like, what's going to be your concern? Your concern is, what is a man permitted to sleep with his wife in the Beis HaMikdash compound? Is that meaning, would that be appropriate? To which the Gemara says, it's clear that the Lishkas Parhajan, the Parhajan chamber, did not have Kedusha. How do we know that? She'en yeshiva ba'azara, el l'malchei be'istavet koshkin shchiva. Well, it's interesting halacha. If you'll notice, if you'll ever see the diagrams of the Beis HaMikdash, there is one thing that is clearly missing from the Kodesh. What's clearly received from the Kodesh? There are no chairs. There are no chairs. Why? Because Ein Yeshiva Beis HaMikdash, nobody is permitted to sit in the Beis HaMikdash with one exception, Davidic kings. Not even the Kohen Gadol. Davidic kings are permitted to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. No one else. So the Gemara says, the fact that the Kohen Gadol is living in Lishkas Parhejin, which means he's sleeping there also, must by definition mean what? That it doesn't have Kiddushah as Beis HaMikdash. Because if it had Kiddushah as Beis HaMikdash, not only would he not be able to sleep, he wouldn't be able to sit there, let alone sleep there. So we already know, and we'll discuss where this is, we already know that Shkaz Parhajan doesn't have Kiddushah as Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, why can't his wife come with him? Now, I'll show you something interesting. Take a look at Tosas for just a moment, quickly, very quickly. Tosas says, Mi beiso lama pirish, pirish rashi, tavo ishto imosha, I'm sure, akorche ek lishkaz parhajan, lo haisa kiddushah, She'en yeshiva ba'azara, kosh kim shchiva, v'kashilon. So those are just quotes Rashi. V'kashilon. V'nehi delo kadisha kiddusha sa'azara, miko makam kahara ba'is ha'isa. So those says, I don't understand. Okay, even if you want to say Lishkas Parhedrin doesn't have kiddusha space amikdash, it's still harabayis. And now why is that important? I mean, v'perek paras chatos, v'kol harabayis machane levihu, u'bal keri, Eno Rashe Likarnes B'machane Leviya. Now, Rabbosai, I remember, if the Kohen Gadol is living with his wife, then what? Then Lamaisa, it's possible they're going to have relations. If they're going to have relations, then what's going to happen? He's going to become a Balkari. Rabbosai, a Balkari is not permitted to enter into the Harabais without, Balkari's man who has seminal emission, is not permitted to enter into the Harabais, ultimately, without going to the mikvah first. The Amar b'Pesach and Perak Elu Dvarim Zav the Chazav the Rabbos Balkari Eyesh Lefarish Mi Beiso Lama Pirish Hava Lan LeMeimar Shepirshu LeMechila Achaz Baharabayis. Seems to me both say. So Tosfos points out it's possible that maybe the Lishkas, maybe the Gemara is suggesting over here is instead of using the Lishkas Parhedrin, there are other subterranean tunnels on Harabayis. Those tunnels did not have Beis HaMikdash Kedusha. They didn't have Harabayis Kiddushah. So why not just go ahead and sequester the Kohen with his wife to the one of the subterranean tunnels, and he could have lived there with her for the 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. And Rabbosai, remember, even if it becomes a Valkyrie, that's not a problem. Why? Because Valkyrie is a very easy tumah to rectify. You go to the mikvah. That's it. So the Gemara is just asking, why do you have to separate him from his wife? So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Ella Shema Yavo al Ishto Betimsa Safik Nida. Oh, what are we concerned about? What you're really concerned about is that maybe he's gonna have relations with his wife. And when she's a Safik Nida. Now we'll say if she's a Safik Nida, then what? Remember, we're going to see a Nida, a woman is a Nida, can convey a tuma to a man who has relations with her. So maybe she's gonna be metanim. And again, remember, as we'll see, we're assuming right now that the tuma of one who has relations with a Nida is like the tuma of a Nida herself, which is a 7-day tuma, which could then mean if he does this during any time during the sequestration process, then what?
He's not
Going to
able
be
to.
in. He's not going to be able to do the Avodah and Yom Kippur. So Gemara says, one second. Amruha Rabbanon Kamei Drachista. Excuse me, I lost the place. Atu Berishoy Yaskinon. So what are you talking about? That the Kohen Gadol is going to have relations with his wife when she's a Suffolk Nida, right? Rose, you're not allowed to have relations with your wife when she's a Suffolk Nida, when there's possibly that she's a Nida. So what are we concerned that the Kohen Gadol is mamish going to do this? Gemara says, no. Ella Shema Yavo Al Ishto. The Timsa Safek Nida. What are we concerned about? We're concerned about not that he's going to have relations with her when she is a Safek Nida, but what? He will have relations with her, and then she will become a Safek Nida. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Ela Shema Yava Al Ishtova Acher Kach Timsa Safek Nida She Timsa Dam Al Asodin She Kan Chabo Ve'en Yadua Im Bishas Bia Haya Haya Badam O Ze O La Acher Bia What's the concern? The concern is, and we'll get a little bit more into this afterwards. Let's say a woman after relations checks herself. She wipes herself, and she finds that there's blood, either on the sheet or there's blood ultimately on the item in which she checked herself. That creates a suffix nida situation. Our halacha lemaisa today is different than this particular halacha because remember, for our purposes today, nida has only one ramification, which is in terms of marital intimacy. But in times of the Beis Hamikdash, nida has major ramifications for tumah and tahara. So again, these ideas of tumah are very. So the Gemara says like this: what are we concerned about? We're concerned about that maybe what's going to happen is the Kohen Gadol is going to be with his wife, and then afterwards she's going to find blood. And there's a suffix that maybe it's nida, but she's suffix nida. If she's suffix nida, Rabbi Yossi, again, in this context, a suffix nida will be a suffix lechumra. Suffix lechumra, again, will be lechumra. Excuse me, a suffix daraisa will be lechumra. And therefore, it turns out that the Kohen Gadol himself is now tamei tumas nida, and that tumah extends for 7 days, which means now he's officially, essentially, been excluded from doing the Avodah and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Amruha Rabbana Kamei Rav Chista, Kiman Krabi Akiva. Whose opinion does this reflect? This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Do'amar, nida mitame es bo'ala. Rabbi Akiva holds Rabbi Osai that a nida, a woman who's a nida, conveys tumah to the man with whom she has relations. Di'i Rabbanan, because according to the rabbis, ha'amri, they say, ein nida mitame es bo'ala. The Rabbanan say that a nida does not convey tumah to a man with whom she has relations. Look at Rashi, Rabbi Osai. Last two short lines, then the wide lines. Rabbi Akiva, command Rabbi Akiva, damar roa dam mitame es bo'ala. Limafreya. Now, we'll say, remember the case over here. The case over here is the Kohen Gadol is with his wife, and when he's with his wife, there are no issues, right? Meaning there's no indication that she's a nida, that she's even a possible nida. Everything is fine. After relations, now she finds blood. So what's the issue? The issue is, was she a nida at the time of relations or not? That's the fundamental issue. There's the fact we know now she is a nida, but the shayla, she didn't find it during relations, she found it after relations. So we'll say, just so you know, as an aside, this halachic discussion of dam machmas bia, which ultimately is blood found after relations, is a very interesting and complex halachic issue. Again, even today. But right now what's happening over here is she's finding it after relations, and the shayla is, do we essentially say, does the halacha say that she must have been a nida during relations as well? And therefore the Kohen Gadol would be tummy as well. So look what the Gemara says. Rashi, excuse me. Kirabi Akiva, Dama Aroa, Metami Esbo, Lemafreya, Kol Me Isleis. According to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi say his position is that when a woman finds nida blood, what that does is it extends her tuma for a full 24 hours retroactively, meaning we assume blood doesn't just show up. Rabbi Akiva is actually an extensive discussion of a Seches Nida. We assume that the blood was there for 24 hours beforehand, and therefore, again, if she had relations with her husband during that period, he's Tamei. If she touched Taros, if she touched against things that are supposed to be ritually pure, she was Metamei then. He says, L'mafreya, Upluktayu b'meseches Nida, Perakolayad, Vahochi Tnan, Derech Bnos Yisrael. So once again, so we're not going to go through this whole thing, but the position of Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Akiva holds that once she finds blood after relations, then Lemaisa, again, the Tumah extends back 24 hours retroactively, which then means what? That Lemaisa, the Kohen Gadol, is now Tameh. So we are saying that's what we're, so, okay, I'm sorry. According to the Rabbanon do not extend the Tumah back retroactively. So we'll qualify their Shita as well in just a moment. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that Lamaisa, the reason we separate the Kohen Gadol, not just from his physical home, but from his wife as well, is to avoid any complications that may arise as a result of marital relations with his wife. But again, the Gemara is just pointing out, that's only true according to Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva is the only one who says that if a woman finds dam after relations, that the tumah could be applied retroactively. Amalu Rav Chista, I feel the team Rabbanan. Chista says, no. The truth is, even in this case, the Rabbanan would agree. Why? Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan alei de Rabbi Akiva, ela ba'acher acher, aval bechad acher module. The Rav says, very interesting. When do the rabbis argue on Rabbi Akiva with what the Gemara calls, what Rav Chista calls acher acher? What's acher acher? Take a look at Rashi. It's about six lines in from where it gets wide. Last few words on line. Ela ba'acher acher. Sheshasa yoser me acher zman shahazman osyom va'acher ula'acher va'acher zman la'acher osyom b'toch shet kidei sheterid v'tadiach. Now we'll say here's something interesting. The Gemara Maseches Nida discusses that in order for blood to be attributed to relations, in order to even have this suffix that perhaps again she was in need during relations, she has to find the blood within a short amount of time after relations. So the Gemara says, if she finds the blood immediately after, within enough time, within the amount of time that it would have taken her to get off the bed and to wipe herself, then that is considered to be, even that could be attributed to blood that was present during relations. But if for argument's sake, after relations, she falls asleep, and she wakes up 2 hours later, and there's blood, and she finds blood afterwards, the Rabbanon would say that's not a problem. So the Rav Chista is clarifying like this. When do the Rabbanon say that Lemaisa, blood found after relations, is not a problem? That's when she finds it at some significant amount of time after the act of relations. But even the Rabbanon would agree that if she finds it immediately after relations, then what? Then Lemaisa, we assume that blood was present during relations, in which case her husband would in fact become Tamei with Tumas Nida. So all the Gemara is pointing out is that even the Rabbanon would subscribe to this idea that it is important to separate the Kohen Gadol from his wife for the 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, because again, even in their worldview, if she were to find blood immediately after relations, that could be matami him as well. So that's the lashon over here is lo pligi rabbanon alei Rabbi Akiva. The rabbis only argue with Rabbi Akiva. Ela ba'acher acher. Acher means much later. Much later, meaning after that amount of time that it would take her to get off the bed and to check herself. But if only one acher, which means again immediately after relations, module, they would agree. Now, Reb Zera makes a very interesting observation. There's one thing that becomes clear, even though now we're saying that, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and even the Rabbanah under certain circumstances, that when a man has relations with a woman who's a Nida, that he contracts Nida impurity as well. Rabbi Zera, however, says it's clear from here that a man who has relations with a Nida is not treated like a Nida, and therefore Tolba Layom, and therefore he immerses by day. Remember, Rabosai, when a woman is in Nida, she only goes to the mikveh at night. There's no Tevila Bayom. But apparently, a man who contracts Nida Tumah by having relations with a Nida can go to the mikveh by day. Where do we know that from? Di amrit bol nida kenida. Also, listen to this, because if you're going to tell me that a man who has relations with a nida is like a nida and that he can't go to the mikvah until nightfall, then emas tovil balayla. If then when is he going to go to the mikvah at night? Ulamachar hechi aved avoda. How will he do the avoda the next day? Vaha boy her of shemesh. Also, listen to this. So here's what we know. We're separating the Kohen Gadol seven days before Yom Kippur. Which means that it's possible that what happened, maybe the night before he had relations with his wife. The night before, that's when he had relations with the wife. Let's say it turns out that she was an Ida. Let's say you have this case where right after relations, she sees blood. Everybody's going to agree, and for argument purposes, say that she's an Ida. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol has Tumas Nida. I'm going to say, play this out. If the Kohen Gadol has to wait, if a man who becomes Tamei with Tumas Nida has to wait until nightfall to go to the mikvah, then when's the first time the Kohen Gadol is going to get to go to the mikvah? Okay. Essentially, the night of Yom Kippur. The night of Yom Kippur. And that's going to be problematic. Why? Because Rabosa, again, in order for the Kohen Gadol to be purged of Tumah, what has to happen? He needs Harif Shemesh. He needs a day. He needs the sun to go down. What's going to be the problem? The next time the sun's going to go down is when? Is Masa Yom Kippur. Which means that essentially he's been effectively precluded from doing the Avodah. So it must be what? It must be that when would he be going to the mikvah? He must go into the mikvah essentially on Erev Yom Kippur during the day. During the day, and therefore the mice again, what that shows us is what? That even though a man who has relations with a nida contracts, we'll call it nida impurity, but he's treated differently than her. That's where she can't go to the mikvah at night, he must be able to go to the mikvah by day. So the Gemara says, well, not so fast. The Gemara says, Elalav shvamina, ba'al nida eino k'nida. Rav Simon Arda amar afilu tema ba'al nida k'nida. Simon Arda says, not necessarily. It could very well be that a man who becomes tameh through relations with the nida is treated just like her. And namely, both of them can't go to the mikvah until nightfall. I said, well, what do you do about the kohen? The Gemara says, listen to this. Dimafrishin le sha'a achas samuch l'shkia sachama. The Gemara says, what do we do? When it says that we go ahead and we separate them on the seventh day, you know what it really means? We separate them a little bit before the seventh day. That whereas the seventh day will start, we'll call it at night, we actually separate him when? About an hour before Shkia. An hour before sunset. And we'll say, what does that do for us? What that does for us is, in the event that he had relations with his wife that day, then what? Then Lamais again, even if she was a Nida, he's going to go to the Mikvah Erev Yom Kippur regardless. So during the day. So the Maisa again, what we do is we back up the sequestration period, even just for an hour before Shkia. That way, again, we have that. We know that he wasn't with his wife at that point in time. Therefore, even if he did become Tamei Tumas Nida from relationship to that day, he can still immerse again that, or essentially the night of Erev Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Meisve. Gemara is the Kasha. Kol Chayvi Tvilos, Tvilos and Bayom. Anyone who's Chayv to go to the Mikvah, they can go to the Mikvah by day. Meaning, also, what a single viewer is generally. When it comes to Tumah, you could immerse in the mikvah by day. Nida v'yoledes, tvilas and balayla, with one exception or two exceptions, a nida and a yoledes. Right? So a nida is a nida, and yoledes is when he gave birth. So both those women must do their immersions at night. So the Gemara says, now both say, Rashi points out over here, nida v'yoledes, tvilas and balayla, nida dichsiv, shivas yamim tei b'nidasa, kol shiva. We'll say the Gemara Dashan says, for seven, remember, biblical nidos is only 7 days. So for 7 days, the woman will be in nidos. The Gemara understands it has to be a full 7 days. Naturally, it's not really a full 7 days, because remember, if a woman becomes a nida in the middle of a day, that's day one also. What it means is the days must be completed fully. So day number seven must be a complete day, and therefore she doesn't go to the mikveh at night, until nighttime. The oledes kamei nidas. So remember, and your Torah itself links the oledes when you gave birth, to woman who's a nida. So the Gemara says, what do we infer from here? Nida in, ba'al nida lo. So what we can infer from here is, what does the Braisa say? Who are the only two people who have to go to the mikvah dafka at night and not by day? Is a nida and a yoledes, which means what? That a man who becomes tamei through relations with a nida is permitted to go to the mikvah by day. To which the Gemara says, no. Nida v'chol da'asim eribuye. No. What does it mean, Abosa? It means, when it says nida, it means a nida and anyone who is a derivative of her nidos. So when it says nida is an umbrella, and it includes her, as well as, again, potentially her husband, if he had relations with her. Meise, raise another kasha. Balkari kimagasheretz. I will say, a balkari, a man who has a seminal emission, becomes tame, like someone who touched a sheretz. Someone who touched a sheretz, I will say, is a creepy, crawly thing, an insect. Boel nida, kitame meis. A man who has relations with a nida contracts the same type of toma as if someone who came in contact with a corpse. Because we'll say, essentially what that means is both have a seven, well, we'll see what it means. My love, Latvila, does it not mean for immersion purposes? And meaning what? That's just like a person who's tummy mace could go to the mikvah by day. So to a boil nida could also go to the mikvah by day. Mara says, lo, litu masan. No. What does it mean? It means for the duration of their tumah. So what the Bryce is saying over here is that the tumah of a ball nida is like the tumah of a tummy mace, and therefore, again, just like tumah of tummy mace is 7 days, so the tumah of a ball nida is 7 days. The Mara says, but 1 second. The hedjik sibhu. Why does the Bryce need to teach me that? The Mara says, that's an oven, that's a mafurish aposek. It's clear in the Torah. Hai tumah shivak sibay, the hai tumah shivak sibay. It says 7 day tumah by tummy mace, and it says 7 day tumah by ball nida. Why do I need? Why do I need a braisa to teach me that? To which the Gemara says, no. Ela lav l'tvilasan. Rather, going back to our original point, maybe it's coming to teach us what? For tevila purposes, and it's coming to teach us that just like Tumas mace can go to the mikvah, just like a tummy mace can go to the mikvah by day, so to somebody who's tummy because of bali, they could also go to the mikvah by day. The Gemara says, no. Lowly olum tumasan. No. The braisa is actually coming to go ahead and teach us that the tumah of Boal Nida is like the tumah of Tumas Meis. But it's not coming to teach us duration. Because duration we already know from the Pesukim that both are 7 days. So what is it coming to teach me? Seifa Itzrichale. The end of the Braisa, which was not quoted on Amud Aleph, is needed. Because what does the Seifa say? Emma shechamer b'mira, because I will say as much again as boel nida resembles tumas mace. However, again, boel nida has a major stringency. What's the major stringency? Emma shechamer b'mira boel nida. Boel nida is more chamer than tumas mace. Why? Shemetame mishkav umoshav b'tumakala. Letame ochinu mashkin. I will say it's very interesting because a boel nida, a man who has relations to the moon is a nida, is metame mishkav umoshav. And I will say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Shematami mishkav umoshav, afilu eser matzaos zu agav zu, betame meis eno metame elamagor. Both say, this is very interesting. This all derives from need from Tumas Nida. A woman who is a Nida, if she were to sit on, let's say, a pile of cushions, so the Tuma would devolve upon every single cushion all the way down, even though what? She's only had contact with the one on top. So remember, again, a man who has relations with a woman who is a Nida essentially acquires pretty much her same level of Tumah, which means that a Boel Nida also is able to be Metame, what we call through Mishkav Umoshav. Mishkav Umoshav means sitting on top of something while not having direct contact with it. So if I sit on a pile of things, all the things become Tame. And I will say, this is in contradistinction to Tumas Meis, because a person who contracts Tumas Meis is only conveys Tumah how? Magav, through actual touch. So what's interesting over here, so as much as Boel Nida is like Tomei Meis in many regards, namely that again, it has a duration of 7-day Tumah, it's fundamentally distinct in the nature and power of its Tumah. That whereas again, Tomas Meis only conveys Tumah through Maga, so Boel Nida conveys Tumah, what Gemara calls through Mishkav Umoshav B'tumakala. But again, this Mishkav Umoshav only has what's the status of, let's say, these cushions that are underneath the Boel Nida, not the one that he's directly sitting on, but all the ones underwards. It only has a lesser form of Tumah that is able to tame ochlin umashkin. It's able to convey Tumah to food and to drink, but not to Adam and Kalim, not to other people, and not to utensils. So again, it has a weaker form of Tumah, but it's Tumah nevertheless. So we'll say all the actions, so what the Gemara is answering over here is, the Gemara is just trying to equate Tumas Nida and Boel Nida, Tumas Meis and Boel Nida. The Gemara only links them together really only to highlight the distinctions. So it says, yes, they have certain common ground, but more dramatically, the major distinction in the nature and scope of their Tumah. Fine. Says the Gemara, Tashma, the Tani Rabbi Chiya, Hazov v'hazova v'hamitzorvat v'hamitzoraz. So Rabbi Chiya says the following. Azov and Azov, these is a man or woman who has these type of emissions. Mitzora mitzoraz, again, tzaraz. Boel nida, a man who has relations with the nida. V'tamei meis, and a person who becomes tamei through contact with a corpse. In all of these cases, tvilasun bayom. So we'll say here you have a mafurish b'raisa. The b'raisa says that again, what? That lemaisa, they all go to mikvah by day. Nida, the yoledes, tvilasun balayla. However, again, a nida and a yoledes, they have tvila at day, they must go to the mikvah tonight. So the Gemara says, tiyufta. Good one. Right? Tiyufta means you've effectively refuted the other position because you have now an explicit b'raisa. Right? And I will say again, it's Rabbi Chiya. So you have an explicit b'raisa that essentially says what? That a boel nida goes to the mikvah by day. And then for the Gemara says, this seems to be a conclusive proof that although a nida can't go to the mikvah until nightfall, and even though Rabbi say what? Remember, a boel nida really is a derivative of her nida tumah, but the b'raisa says he can go to the mikvah by day. Fine. Says the Gemara. The acha atama fisho mitumas beso, he fisho mitumas ames. So let's now back to the Kohen Gadol. So now what we've established is the following, that we are the sequestration is not just from his home. See, we'll say, one could have easily thought that the whole chab of the sequestration is what? It's sequestration preparation. So if that's the case, then his wife should be able to come with him. Now that we're saying we're separating it from his wife as well, in order to avoid any potential of Tumas Nida. So Gemara says, now that you're being choshesh, that maybe his wife is going to become a Nida in the midst of relations or right after relations, why aren't you choshesh that what? You should sequester him from people. Why should you sequester him from people? I will say, because what's possible? Someone's going to come to say, Shalom Aleichem to the Gemara, what's going to happen? He's going to drop dead. So, meaning, if that's me, what the Gemara is saying is the following. No, what the Gemara is asking is, if I will say, again, you have to understand something. If we were really concerned that a woman is going to become a Nida, it means that we shouldn't be able to have relations with our wives, right? Why? Because what that means is that every single time I'm going to have a relation with her, I have to be choshesh, we shouldn't become a Nida. So obviously, we're not choshesh for that. We're not choshesh for that. So, but yet, by the Kohen Gadol over here, what we see over here is a pattern. We begin to be choshesh for things that regular people are not choshesh for under normal circumstances. So Gemara says, okay, if you want to start being choshesh again for the outliers, and also I'll take this a step further also, just understanding, Gemara Maseches Nidah discusses that at certain points in history there was a practice that women would do an internal examination before relations in order to ensure that they were not a need at time of relations. We don't do that today for a variety of different reasons. But the point is over here that lemaise, again, we're clearly not choshesh. I can't impress enough. If we really were choshesh for this, then a person would never be able to have relations with their wife. So once we're being choshesh for this outlier, for these things that we're not choshesh under ordinary circumstances, why don't you be choshesh? People do drop dead also. It happens, Nebuch. It happens. So maybe we should sequester the Kohen Gadol from everyone in order that he not become tamei tumas meis. So look at Rashi. Now remember, he's got contact with all these different kinds of people. He should be sequestered from human contact because maybe somebody's going to drop dead in his presence, and boom, he's tamei tumas meis, and now you're stuck. To which the Gemara says, Oh, what do you see from here? From the fact that we're not choshesh, so also tells you what? That tuma, going back to our Pesachim days, that tuma is hutra b'tzibur. Now, also, I want to show you something fascinating with this. When we learn this concept in Pesachim, we learned it in a totally different way. What did tuma hutra b'tzibur in Pesachim mean? It meant that if the majority of the populace were tummy, 51% of the nation were tummy, then what? Then you offered up the carbon Pesach, even in a state of ritual impurity. There was no Pesach Sheni, everybody does. And we saw Machlokis, says it Hutra Zetchuya. Here it means something different. Look what Rashi says. Hutra Hibatzibor, says Rashi. He says, Kidichsiv Ish Nidcha, the in Sibor Nidchin. So also we learned that actually from Pesach Sheni. That's what? We learned from Pesach Sheni that an individual is Nidcha, is deferred because of Tuma. But the tzibur is not nitchel. Watch this. Ubiyom Kippurim kulei karban tzibur. I will say the entire Yom Kippur service is a tzibur service. Every karban Yom Kippur is a tzibur service. Va'af karban shalom. And even those things that are called the Kohen Gadol's private or personal offering, those are also called karbanos tzibur. And therefore, docha es hatumah, sharizmano kavua v'karbanot taloi bar. I will say, listen to this. The Gemara suggests, okay, let's say somebody does drop dead right in front of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, let's say that happens. It doesn't matter. Why? Because I will say everything that Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur is considered to be a tzibur service. Couple that with the fact that what? That it has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, the Gemara says if it really becomes Tumah Tumas Meis, those laws will be suspended. Why? Because Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. I will say, understand the novelty of the application of this concept. Everybody else is Tar. Who's the only one who's Tameh? Kohen Gadol. But because the Avodah has to be done by him, and because the Avodah is a Tzibur Avodah, the laws of Tumah will be suspended. So why Beis? So because again, whatever normal precautions we can take, because again, as we're going to see also, you can't really guard someone from full human contact, especially given the fact that part of the reason for the sequestration was the preparation, was to prepare him for the Avodah. Mm-hmm. See, he had to learn, we saw that in the Braisa before, the Tamidim of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara said before, had to go ahead and teach him. So the Gemara is saying over here is, even if somebody drops dead, Lemaisa again, Lemaisa, it's okay, because Tumahut Shrebet Sibor. Ravina says, no, Afilu Taima, Ravina Amar Afilu Taima Tumas Meis Tchuyi Hibit Sibor. Tumas, Ravina says, no, that's not the reason. Even if one says only Nitche, not Hutra, I'll tell you the reason why. Tumas Hameis Lo Shchicha, Tumas Beiso Shchicha. So Ravina gives, I think, what is probably according to the Gemara more plausible answer. So Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because the truth is, we're only going to be choshesh for things that are normal occurrences. It's normal for a woman to see blood after relations. Again, not necessarily a regular occurrence, but it's a normative occurrence. It does happen. So therefore, again, we're going to safeguard ourselves from what we'll call normative or regular occurrences. Therefore, Kohen Gadol, I'm sorry, you can't be with your wife for the next 7 days. People just dropping dead out of nowhere is not a normal occurrence. Again, when we say normal, it happens, but these are not the kind of events that necessarily happen on a daily basis. So the Gemara, again, I will say, obviously, on a global level, people drop dead every single day, unfortunately. But the Gemara is saying is, in terms of the events for which we must plan for, that is not one of them. So I will say, so Ravina simply seems to say, this is not an issue of Tumah Hutra or Tumah Dechuya. This is an issue about planning for things that are Matzur, that are regular occurrences, and you can't plan for every single occurrence. So again, the plan that somebody's going to drop dead, that we're not worried about. But the plan that his wife may become a Nida after relations, that is saying that it's possible, therefore we must plan for that particular eventuality. So Gemara says, Itmar, Tumas HaMeis. Now that we mentioned this, we're going to go back and explore this a little bit more. Tumas HaMeis, Rav Nachman Omer, Dechuyehi. Rav Nachman says, Rabbi Osei, it's Nidche. Now, Rabbi Osei, we saw this machlokis earlier, Betzibor. So, Nidche, Dechuyehi, Betzibor. Rabbi Osei, now, what does it mean, set aside? What that means is, the laws of Tumah, did I skip? I'm sorry. Rav Nachman Omer, Hutri, Betzibor. Rav Sheshes Omer, Dechuyehi, Betzibor. So, Rabbi Osei, machlokis Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says, Tumah, Hutri, Betzibor, which means, Rabbi Osei, again, in this context, that Lemaisa, even though everybody else is Tahor, the fact that the Kohen Gadol is involved in a Tzibor service, when it comes to the Tzibor, the laws of Tumah are lifted. They don't exist. Chutra means they become Mutter. It's like the laws of Tumah don't exist. Rav Sheshes, on the other hand, says Dechuya. Dechuya means, I'll say what? That they're set aside. They still exist, but they're set aside. Now, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Hecha de'ika temeinu tahor ba'hu beis av. You know where this comes up? This comes up in the following circumstance. Let's say, forget about Yom Kippur for just a moment. It's a regular day in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, again, there's a particular Beis HaMikdash, a particular Kohanic family that's serving on that day. And what happens? Part of the Beis HaMikdash, part of the Kohanic shift becomes Tameh. Part of them are still Tahorin. Everybody will agree in a circumstance like that, where you have some Kohanim who are Tameh, some Kohanim who are Tahorin, what should you do? The Tahorin should do the service, and what? The Tameyan should not. Ki pligi, when do they argue? La'ahadure o la'suye tahorin beis avachrina. I'll say, listen to this case. What's the nafkamina case? Again, remember, a beis av, a particular family, serves in a particular day in the beis avachrina. Let's say now, the entire beis av becomes Tamei. The entire beis av becomes Tamei. What? During their avoda. You know, on the day they're supposed to serve, they all become Tamei. So what's the fundamental machlok? Yes? Do I have to go out and find another base av? Do I have to go out and find? Now, I will say it's not so difficult to do that, but do I have to find another base av to do the avoda? So I will say it depends. Rav Nachman Amar Heter Hibit Heter Hibit. Excuse me, Heter Hibit Sibor Velo Mahadrinan. Rav Nachman says no. You know why? Tumo Hutra Bit Sibor, which means what? Whenever it comes to sacrificial service for the Sibor, then what? Rav Osei, Lemaisa, said there's no Tumo. There's no Tumo. If there's no Tumo, then what? You don't have to go find replacements. These guys are perfectly good. Rav Sheshes Amar Dechuyehi B'tzibor. Rav Sheshes says, no, not true. That the laws of Tumah are set aside, which means what, Rabbi Osei? If you don't have an alternative, you can do the Tzibor service in a state of avodah. But what? But if you have an alternative, then exercise your alternative. Then ultimately, again, go ahead and find another base app. And therefore, again, Dechuyehi B'tzibor U'mahadrinan. And ultimately, again, we would go ahead and look for another group of clients to do the avoda. And the Bosnians will stop over here. We'll stop by the Ikedam. So again, remember, we're not stuck. We are left. I apologize. Nobody's going to be able to concentrate for the rest of the day. I left on this cliffhanger. But fundamental machlok is from Nachman and Rav Sheshes of Tumah Hutra B'tzibor, Tumah Dechuyehi B'tzibor. And now again, the novelty over here is the new application of this concept. We've only seen this legabe the Tzibor as a whole. Now we're seeing these concepts as applied to sacrificial service for the Tzibor itself. All right, we'll continue it tomorrow.